He spoke so tenderly.
I ain't singing with you now. I'm gonna leave it there.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Hey, our sweet sister is going to sing us a song this morning, start us off in worship. Just tune your hearts to the Lord. And I know she always does such a beautiful job. And so thank you for listening along. I'm going to pray for her and pray for us as we get started this morning. So, Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. I thank you for my sweet sister, Harriet, and I pray that you just bless her. As she sings, I know you'll bless our heart. And then as we open the word together, you just speak to our hearts louder than any voice that's spoken out here. We just pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll go. I'll go. Lord, I'll go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I, I go. Maybe motherless, but Lord, I go. Maybe motherless, but Lord, I go. And if the Lord need somebody, here am I go. Maybe fatherless, but Lord, I go. Maybe fatherless, but Lord, I go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I go. Maybe soonerless, but Lord, I'll go. Maybe soonerless, but Lord, I'll go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I, I'll go. Maybe borderless, but Lord, I'll go. Maybe borderless, but Lord, I'll go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I, I go. Maybe rain, but Lord, I'll go. Maybe raining, but Lord, I'll go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I, I'll go. Maybe storming, but Lord, I'll go. Maybe storming, but Lord, I'll go. And if the Lord needs somebody, here am I, I'll go.
Man, isn't that awesome stuff? Can't help but think each time as Harriet sings that, I love it more each time. Think of the word of God calling out to Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" And him saying, "Here I am, send me." Wouldn't this be a better place if we all answered that way? Anybody agree with that besides Miss Jennifer? Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here this morning. I want to pick back up in Hebrews where we left off. We're in a new series. If you haven't been with us, I think a couple weeks now, I just want to remind you of the word faith. I want you to think about this in your own heart, in your own life. Faith. Kellen, what's up, man? How you doing? Looking sharp. Good to see you. He's looking at me like, don't call me out like that. Faith, complete trust in someone or something. That's the definition. If you were to look up into Webster's, complete trust in someone or something. I want to stop here and remind you this. Everybody look this way for me real quick. I know it's beautiful. There's a lot going on, but I want you to think about this. Even if you were in this parking lot this morning and you would say, I don't believe in faith. Faith is silly. I believe in knowledge, or I believe in my own understanding. I don't have faith. I'm just going to set the record straight. You, my friend, have faith in something. It may not be recognized, but you either have faith in science, you have faith in relationship, you have faith in maybe your own ability to handle something, but you have faith because, everybody, let's be honest, none of us were here in the beginning, right? I mean, we have to have faith in something. And I'm just here to tell you, out of all the ways that you could have faith, to me, it makes the most sense to place the faith and trust in who I believe spoke me into existence and in this moment sustains me. You realize that, right? Like, you have no control over the breath that is in your lungs this morning, the rhythm that is in your heart. It is a precious gift, second by second. And with that, if you have pulse this morning, you have purpose. God has you here for a reason. Step number one is to know Him. It's the very first pages of our Bible, to have a relationship with Creator God, the Creator and the created. So the definition, complete trust in someone or something, we've talked about that. Scripture took us to the definition, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So today, we will look in Hebrews 11, and we will look at the faith of a man named Enoch. It's a fascinating story. If you know the story of Enoch, the man we will read about today is mentioned in our Bible, as far as I know, a mere five verses. Think about that. Five verses, but yet here today in this parking lot, we're talking about thousands of years later, this man who showed extraordinary faith. I want to remind you of this again. As we read Scripture, as you go through Hebrews 11 and you hit all of these characters, we somehow paint them as this special people, right? These superhuman, superhero biblical characters, if you will. We do that with the King David. We do that with, you know, the disciples, with Peter. We do this with somebody like Enoch, and we say, well, they've reached this potential that I never will. These are ordinary people with extraordinary faith, just like you and I, sinful people, but yet put their faith, their complete trust in the Father. So five verses here in Hebrews 11 in what some call the Hall of Faith. So this guy that we very, very, very barely know anything about, five verses. The man who in the New Testament says was taken by God, in the Old Testament says he was and then he wasn't. Think about that. He was and then he was not. I mean, it's this fascinating mystery. This one, if I'm honest, I don't completely understand. It's a bit confusing. And honestly, a detail that I'm less concerned about today than the real heart of the issue, his faith. I want to remind you before we get into the story of why we believe faith is so important is, one, it is essential to your story. As much as we would love to have this physical relationship with God where we could walk up and shake His hand like we have with one another today or hug one another, we don't have that luxury yet. One day, our faith will be sight, but we have to have faith, right? In your story, you have faith in something, and so there is this moment where your story, faith, intersects where you have to have it. You have to have faith in Jesus. It's a huge part of the story of the church at Southside, your little family gathering, right? This is a small portion of the church where Jesus is the head. He's the head of this church. But it was an integral part of our story where we intersected. What are we doing that requires faith? And then we also said the times that we're living in. Man, if you don't look around, watch the news, see all that's going on, faith is essential, if any time, like a time like right now. So faith is so important. It is essential. Enoch had faith. great faith. Let's read about it. We'll check the New Testament and look at the Old Testament. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says this, by faith, right? That's what we're talking about. Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So you look back at the very, very beginning of Scripture, I believe Genesis chapter 5, if I remember right. I got it marked here. Why do I have to have the first pages of my Bible marked? I should be able to find that. Genesis chapter 5, the wind plays havoc out here sometimes on my Bible. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and after he had fathered Methuselah 300 years, he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Listen to this. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Crazy stuff. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We believe that even digging back into the Old Testament, as people were looking towards a Messiah, we have the luxury of looking, hopefully, that we know you, but looking back into the New Testament and seeing you, Jesus, and how you lived and how you operated in life and served and loved. And it's what you've called us to, God. All made possible relationship with you, Father, through Jesus by faith. And so we look at someone today, an ordinary person who had extraordinary faith. It puts us in a great camp. Look around this parking lot. I see it filled with ordinary people. And may you find us to be the same, that we have extraordinary faith in you. With that, God, you can do so much. And so, Jesus, we love you. We would confess, Jesus, we need you. And we pray that you, I say it all the time, but it just bears repeating. You're laying it on my heart. Louder than any voice spoken today, be it our own voice, be it voice of shame, an accusation, be it a voice of curse that someone has placed over us, be it a voice of someone saying that we will never measure up, we're no good, no one cares, any of those voices, Holy Spirit, you don't need our permission, but we ask that you speak louder than any of those voices today, and we willingly lay down and say, have your way in our heart. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. So we look at this, and Enoch mysteriously defies death. It's a crazy story. Five verses that we know of Enoch, and it's one that is always, if I'm completely honest, has always troubled me. There was a man who was, and then he was not. It's kind of trippy, right? That Enoch is just walking down the road one day, and then he is not. I mean, imagine that. Here was a guy who was, and now he's not. I mean, I'm going to pick on somebody not here today. Charlie Vifquin's not here today. But I'm just going to bet, he's texted me this morning, I'm going to bet that next week Charlie's going to show up. It's not like, well, where'd he go? Well, he was and then he was not. I'm not saying God can't operate that way anymore, but I haven't seen it. I've not experienced that. But I believe this is a true and literal story, that Enoch was a man who had such great faith, that's what we're talking about today, that he was and then he was not. Almost this rapture type of end, if you will. Maybe even a little foreshadowing there of the church one day. And while that's fascinating and very little is known, other than the details of these five verses about a man named Enoch, I want to tell you this, that I feel today is far less about who Enoch was and more of what Enoch did. And here's what I want to tell you. I want to break it down into this real simple. Enoch walked. Now think about that. Enoch walked. Hebrews 11:5 tells us more about Enoch being taken away, but why? It says, because God took him. His desire and will was so he did not see death. And then listen to this, the second reason. It says that he was commended as having pleased God. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. This is a strategically placed sip of coffee right here. I want you to think for just a second that there are a mere five verses written about your entire life. Think about that for just a second. Coffee sip. That's good coffee. Five verses written about your entire life. Five verses. What do they contain? I'm going to be honest, mine's going to read like a who's who of mistakes. Right? Man, he did this. He was a rough dude. He did that. He did that. I would love to think somewhere in there it was like, yeah, there's some good qualities. But five verses. I'm 43 years old right now. I know I don't look, and I know I look 53, but five verses written about my life. What would they say? What would they say about your life? Can you imagine this? That if there was a point in your life where someone took your whole life and trimmed it down to five verses, and one of the verses happened to be, he or she pleased God. Here's what I can tell you about Enoch. I don't have a lot to go off in Scripture, but I can tell you this. This was a guy after God's own heart. He pleased God. Think about that. That five verses are written, and one of them happens to be just how pleasing you are to God. So pleasing, and I can't understand it or grasp it, so pleasing that God looked at him and says, I don't even want this guy to taste death. Come on home with me. I'm tired of you walking in this journey. I want you to literally walk with me. I want you to come home. You please me so much. I'm going to tell you, Enoch, although he was an ordinary guy, had an extraordinary quality about him. He had an immense faith. So what's so special about Enoch's faith? And is it something we can duplicate? Spoiler alert, it requires faith. It requires a deep faith. And I want to remind you of this. The next verse in Hebrews 11 from the story of Enoch, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. I am a simple guy. The word impossible is so very simple to understand, meaning it is not possible to please God without faith. Remember, faith, complete trust in someone or something. Our someone or something is Father, Son, and Spirit. Anybody agree with that this morning? That is our complete faith. Five verses of Enoch, and twice there is a statement. Listen to what it says. Enoch walked with God. Four verses in the Old Testament, 50% of them, two of them, I can do math like that, right? 50% of them talk about this walking that Enoch did. There's four verses, two of them say, and Enoch walked with God. Then a second time, and Enoch walked with God. I want to rewind you just a second. I want you to think about this. And in fact, I want to encourage you to do this sometime, because when I started thinking through this lens, I want to be honest, this life that somehow a lot of times doesn't make sense became so much clearer. I want to take you back to the first pages of your Bible. Life makes much more sense when you view it through the lens of the Garden of Eden. Here's why. How many of you have ever been through a sickness or a loss or death or just something that just seems so unfair, right? Like, I can't deal with this. I can't imagine. Maybe it was a death by suicide or a person that died, what we would say is too young. And we look at it and we say, this just isn't fair. It doesn't make sense. Can I tell you that it was never supposed to be that way? Never was. And you say, man, maybe somebody here that struggles with addiction. There's no shame in that. Like, we honor you and we want to walk through that with you. But if you struggle with that and you say, man, every day it's creeping at my door. Every day I want to get high. Every day I want to use. Every day I want to do this. Can you imagine? And just stop and think for a second. It never was supposed to be that way for you. Here's why. In the beginning, it was perfection. In the beginning, it was man and woman and God, and there was no sin. It was beautiful. It was Eden. It was perfection. There was no death. Remember? And here's what I want to tell you. Somewhere in your DNA, somewhere that it permeates out, like you realize that. You realize, like, when something happens like that, a tragedy or a war or a rumor of war, you say, it shouldn't be this way. You're right. It shouldn't. And here's what I want to tell you. Some of you need to hear this morning. Some of you are carrying around anger that you've carried for 30 years and say, you know, God took my mom or my dad with cancer and it shouldn't have been. You know what? It just angers me sometimes when someone, well, that was God's will. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Was it under his authority and dominion? Yes, and that's tough to wrap our mind around. But it never was supposed to be cancer. It was a better way. And take heart when you look at the first and you go back to the garden, go to the end that he is in the process right now. Listen, right now of making all things new. He's setting it right. Eden will return even better because the enemy will be vanquished forever. There will not even be the threat of sin. Can I tell you the freedom in this, that if you're an addict here this morning, I believe there's hope now. I do. I believe that any addiction can be beat with the help and the mercy and everything, the tools at your disposal through Jesus' name. But can you imagine the day when there's not even an inkling to even have that thought? That the sin that is present in that, the desire, the want, the enemy himself who crafts that plan is no more. I can't even imagine. I can't even fathom what that feels like. But it says that he's working and he's doing all things new. He's making everything right. He's keeping score and he's everything that we've lost we will gain. I believe. It takes faith, but you got faith in something, right? And that sounds like a beautiful picture to believe in. The one who spoke you into existence. The one who is sustaining you. And so when you rewind to those pages, here's what I want to tell you what walking with God used to mean. Listen to this. It meant walking with God. Can you imagine that Adam and Eve, in fact, if you look, it says when they sinned, that God was walking in the garden looking for them. In other words, here's what it means. Hey, where's our afternoon walk? Adam, Eve, where are you? By the way, he knew. He knew they were hiding. He knew they were making an artificial covering that, by the way, the beauty of later where he actually sacrifices an animal and takes the covering of them, the shedding of blood, a foreshadowing that one day this little fig leaf, it's not going to work. I'm going to offer a covering, right? Jesus is in the very beginning of our scripture. But the afternoon walk was there that God actually walked with people. It was supposed to be so with you and I. Now, I want to tell you this. Sin entered the picture. Again, viewing through the garden, everything was supposed to be that way. And even when we think at a place where we get to, the angels standing in guard in front of, that we get to a place where you say, well, you know what? That was punishment. They shouldn't be there, right? They couldn't be there. It's God's provision of, I don't want you to stay in this state. It's actually grace in that. It's actually grace in that moment. And so we get to this place and we see that from the garden, and then minus the little short period where Jesus himself, who's always been, he didn't just pop on the scene one day, one Christmas morning. We saw that in John when we studied that in the beginning was the Word, all of that. That minus that brief picture where Jesus actually walked this earth, that a physical walking with God was not possible anymore. So when we get to a place like Enoch, he wasn't literally walking with God. He wasn't taking this afternoon walk, but it meant that I believe every step that Enoch took, he was taking in faith and trusting God. God, where do you have me go? What should I do? What should I say? How should I live? Who should my best friends be? What relationship should I be in? I can't tell you. I don't have all the details of that, but I can tell you this, that Enoch was a man that walked with God so intently that God looked at him and said, that is pleasing to me, that I don't even want this guy to taste death. I'm going to bring him on home. Quit just, you know, in faith walking with me. I want you to walk with me, Enoch. But you see, this is a guy that just had this immense faith, this one where he's just, everything is an appointment with God, I believe. A praying without ceasing, a walking with, a faith that he has. And again, I want to remind you of this. We are looking at an ordinary man who had extraordinary faith. And I'll ask you this question. If he walked with God and that was pleasing to God, how are you walking? I'm not talking about with a limp. I'm not talking about with a pimp limp. I'm not talking about with a cane. I'm not talking about in a wheelchair. How are you living? How are you walking? How are you walking with him? Are you just going through the motions? And here's what we like to do, and I'm going to tell you, I know this to be fact because this is me. I like to walk and do my life, and especially with work, I go through the motions, and then at the end of it all, I pray and say, now wasn't that good, God? Didn't we go through that together? When really what it should be, man, is like, all right, I'm about to take a step. Jesus, is this the way we're supposed to go? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this what I'm supposed to say? By the way, a lot of times we think we're supposed to say a whole lot. Sometimes it is this what I'm not supposed to say? Should I pull back and let you do your thing? Here's the greatest, anybody that's a preacher here, a teacher, or ever been used by God with your words, here's the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me. I have taught before, and I have someone come up, and they are super emotional. That's fine, like, no problem with that. They're crying and they're saying, and you know, if you let pride creep in, you think, boy, I did a good job today. You know, I really God used me and all. And then they'll say this, Pastor Keith, when you said this, and they go through and say, I didn't say none of that. I didn't say a single word that you just said. And what that means is that I'm far less significant than probably what some want to put on there as that title, pastor. And it's more about what the Spirit does. And so we ask that. We say, God, just am I supposed to share today? What should I share? You, Jesus, and tomorrow when I walk into work, Jesus, will you be with this next step? That may seem silly, but what if you viewed life of every step I take, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Like, I want my faith to be that pleasing to you. That if you don't come through, how about if we prayed an audacious prayer like that? That Jesus, and what I want to attempt to do is unless you come through, it won't happen. I can't do it on my own. That it's going to take walking in faith with you. So I ask the question again, how are you walking? The Bible talks a lot about walking. I mean, it is all over, and I want to read two. One should sound very, very familiar. Anybody was here when we went through the letter of Ephesians? Anybody? Just a little short time ago. I was thinking of this one. Paul writing the church of Ephesus, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. Do you know, my friends, that if you know Jesus, you are a son or daughter of the King? Here's the even more beautiful news. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. It is irrelevant because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. When you encounter a love that great that says, man, no matter what I've done, you still love me. I still have a seat at the King's table with my name on it as son of the King. And not just any king, but the King of Kings. The name that every king will bow down into, whether they admit it on earth or not, and say, yes, you are the true King. I'm a son, a beloved son, that even when I screw up, and I do, and I will, he says, my son. When you encounter a love that great, walk in a manner worthy of that, of just saying, it doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but I agree with that. I'm in with that. I love you. And walk in faith. Anybody need some humbling this morning? I tell you, this one always gets me, but it just came to mind. I was thinking about walking, and I'll close with this. But it's in 1 John, and it's chapter 2, verse 6. Here's a good test. By this we may know, not that we might think or maybe know, that we may know that we are in Him, in Jesus. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I encourage you this week, go back to the Gospels. Jesus, how did you walk? Because if I say I believe, if I say I want more of you, if I say I want relationship with you, then we are called to walk the way he walked. It means instead of anger or wrath or vengeance or any of those things, it means we wash feet. It means we love. It means we serve. It means we touch the untouchable and love the unlovable and all of those things. And the ones shunned from society, the tax collectors and the sinners. You know, I would be in that group. That's me. And Jesus, like, they were avoided. And he went to them and he loved them and says, man, there's a better way. By the way, this is a little nugget. Do you know the people that Jesus really got hacked off at the most? It was the religious crew. The people that knew the law backwards and forward that should have known better. That's really the only people Jesus gets mad at. The rest are encountered with love. And now granted, he says there's a better way. Go and sin no more. You found me. You found life. Like, live in it. Walk in it. He says there's better. But when he would encounter the Pharisees, he would say, man, you're like whitewashed tombs. That means your headstone's clean, but inside is dead man bones. The outside of the cup is clean, but man, the inside is dirty. You brood of vipers. Like, I mean, go and look. That's how Jesus encountered the ones that should know better, the religious, but were just walking in law and walking in, I got to do this and I got to do that. You realize that they had God standing in front of them and they missed it? Had the law memorized and yet they missed it. They weren't walking in faith. They were walking in knowledge. So I pray this week that you let the gospel be your guide, that you walk with Jesus in faith, in love, and in service. I'm going to ask you to do something real quick this morning. I want you just to bow your heads for just a moment. And I want you just to stop and think, because life is hectic. Our world, we talked about it, we need faith right now, and so it's just trying times. And so in just the warmth of the sun, and just you and God, I know you may be sitting by somebody, you may be standing by somebody, just you and God, I think the walking with God is simply this, and I want you just to let this statement just kind of hit down deep and just ask God, just right there where you're at, what would it look like for me to do this? To walk in partnership with God. You see, because I'm afraid that a lot of us, myself included in the church, we walk, and yes, we believe in God, but we're not walking with. Oftentimes we're walking ahead, walking behind, walking way out there in left field. But what would it look like to work in partnership, in tandem, in unison? That every step you took was ordered by God, and that we believed that, and that we prayed in faith, help me to make this step in you. As simple as even a lunch or a dinner appointment, as simple as anything that could be thrown your way, Jesus, what do you say about this? I want to ask you this question. You say, man, that seems so difficult. Last question I'll ask. Do you think that the Creator who spoke you into existence, who sustains your life right now, might have a better course for your life than you could dream up of your own? So, Jesus, we're in with that, and we say this.
What a beautiful day for somebody for the first time to say, I want that partnership for the first time. I want to know you, Jesus, for the first time. Maybe it just lands that you have faith in something, but it's not the right someone. That would be found in Jesus today. And in your heart, you'd say, I know I can't do this life alone. Jesus, I need you. Accept his forgiveness. Accept his grace and his mercy and his compassion. If you've already accepted that, what a wonderful day it would be to say, man, I've been walking a lot by myself lately. I've been walking by wisdom of the earth. I've been reading self-help this and that and however many steps to a better me. And all of that could be useful, but Jesus, I haven't checked in with you at all. I'm not walking in partnership, in unison with you. All I know is that today's scripture, an ordinary man by the name of Enoch had such extraordinary faith because he walked with you in such a way that he didn't even touch death. An ordinary man with extraordinary faith. It's one guy. Five verses. And his story says that he pleased you, God. Five verses that made such a difference that years later, we're standing in a parking lot in Birmingham, Alabama, talking about this story. May that same faith catch in our hearts. A lot of people in this parking lot this morning, that we would leave as all individuals, one step in front of the other. Jesus, is this what you'd have for me? That we would walk in partnership with you just this week. Let's give it a try. And just trust that the created us, that the Creator may have something better in store than we could even dream up or imagine for ourselves. You care that deeply, Jesus. You love us. You created us for relationship with you, and all it takes is just a little bit of faith. Help us. We need you. We are so prone to wander to things that require sight or things we can touch, feel, whatever. So it requires faith. We need it. We need your help in that. And so I ask even confidently this week, Jesus, that for each of us, that you remind us of your goodness, and that takes our faith a step closer to you. I'll end with the same way I began. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we need you. We pray it in your name this morning. Amen.